We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to Monday, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs coming to you from the studios of WMIE 91.5. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast, and it is brought to you by the Saints at Merit Assembly of God and our other supporters that help bring us this broadcast, one of which is Wyrick Air Heat and Electrical, 632-9538. If you are anywhere in the county and you have an electrical situation or an air conditioning situation, I'm trusting that heat has not been a problem of late, but if you're maybe just coming back to Brevard County, maybe you're a snowbird or something and want to get that checked out for when the cooler weather does hit, they can help you out with that as well. So if you need any help at all in those areas, air conditioning, electrical, 632-9538. And again, it's anywhere in the county. So there's a possibility this week that we could get some of the offshoots of a storm. And so we'll just play that by ear. I do pray that you have a plan in place, that you are able to get all of your needs taken care of. You've got plenty of food and all of that. If you've got a generator, you might want to make sure that that's working. And that's just some wise course of actions to take preventative measures. So we do want to invite you out to our vintage service Wednesday at 11 a.m. And then our kids ministry has been growing. We have a girls ministry. We have a ministry to boys that we're kind of restructuring that right now. But it has been growing, and we are just so excited about what God is enabling us to do, investing in the lives of young people. So that's coming up on Wednesday. We'll still be in my recovery process, from the surgery and going through therapy and all of that. So if you would continue to hold us up in prayer. I want to take you in the Word today to Genesis, the 45th chapter. Genesis, the 45th chapter. We're going to be looking today as a transformative passage of Scripture. It no longer is Joseph going to be the only one who knows who everyone is, but he is going to be revealing himself to his brothers and his family, and so that will be coming up. So we're going to begin reading in chapter 45, verse number 1. It said, "Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, 'Make everyone go out from me.'" My Bible has an exclamation point there in the New King James Version. "So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'I am Joseph. Does my father still live?' But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, 'Please come near to me.' So they came near. Then he said, 'I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt, but now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hurry up and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, you and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you, so you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, of all that you have seen, and you shall hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them, and after that his brothers talked with him. Now the report of it was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brothers have come. So it pleased Pharaoh and his servants well, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brothers, do this, load your animals and depart, go to the land of Canaan, bring your father and your households, and come to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you will eat the fat of the land. Now you are commanded, do this, take carts out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives, bring your father and come. Also, do not be concerned about your goods, for the best of all of the land of Egypt is yours. Then the sons of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them carts according to the command of Pharaoh, and he gave them provisions for the journey. He gave to all them, to each man, changes of garments, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of garments. And he sent to his father these things, 10 donkeys loaded with the good things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread and food for his father for the journey. So he sent his brothers, and they departed, and said to them, see that you do not become troubled along the way. Then they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan, to Jacob their father, and they told him, saying, Joseph is still alive, and he is governor all over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart stood still, because he did not believe them. But when they told him all the words which Joseph had said, which Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father, then Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. So this is the unveiling, if you will, where Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. It's where the veil comes off, the act ceases. Nobody is pretending anything other than reality at this point in time, and authenticity is a marvelous, it's a wonderful thing. I believe that when we come to church, that it should be a time where people feel safe to be authentic and genuine. If you expect to come to church and find everybody perfect and sound, you will be sadly mistaken, because we live in a broken, damaged world. Now, we need to constantly be under construction and realize that believers are under construction as well. And so I pray that I am less fractured and less broken than I've ever been before in my life. I pray that I'm not having to put on airs or put on a mask to try and impress people, because they love me for who I am as a child of God and what God is doing. So Joseph has encountered his brothers a number of times. This encounter starts off, and like we had talked about on previous broadcasts, it finally becomes evident that the brothers have had a change of heart, and the way that they treated Joseph is not the way that they are treating Jacob's new favorite, and that is Benjamin. And so when Judah says, please take my life, let me be your servant and let Benjamin go. It says that Joseph could not restrain himself any longer, that he could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him. And I believe that it is God's heart, it is his desire that he wants to pour out a blessing for you and I that we do not have room enough to contain. I believe that he wants to reveal himself in his holiness, in his faithfulness, in his compassion, in his power, in his bounty. I believe that he wants to reveal himself to us in that manner. So let me see if I can find a passage of scripture right now it's just a wonderful passage of scripture for me. It talks about the revelation of God, and it says in Psalm 18, verse number 25, with the merciful you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man you will show yourself blameless. With the pure you will show yourself pure, and with the devious you will show yourself shrewd. For you will save the humble people, but will bring down haughty looks. And so what this passage says to me, it is also in another area in Scripture, in 2 Samuel, I believe it is. But what this says is that God reveals himself to us in alignment with our character and with our authenticity. I can't tell you how many people through the years of ministry have said to me things like this: oh, the reason that I go to this church is so that I can just kind of blend in with the crowd. I don't have to worry about whether anybody knows the real me or the genuine me. And so I'm looking for some place where I'm not going to have to be authentic. I can just go and I can just be part. And as an introvert, I tell people this a lot, and it really is true. For the best part of my early life, I was an introvert. I wouldn't hardly talk to strangers or anything like that. I was scared to death as a child of girls. It wasn't so much the girls I was scared of; it was the rejection issue. I would just as soon, you know, be in the background and be an observer, and that was my nature. I was just really paralyzed by the thought of rejection. And God put me in the retail industry where I faced rejection on a regular basis. And I realized that rejection wasn't fatal, and it wasn't even necessarily a rejection of me as much as it was something else that was going on. And then when I realized that Jesus was rejected and yet God exalted him, I realized that sometimes rejection is not a reflection of the quality of yourself, but it is a lack of the poor judgment of the people who are doing the rejecting. And all of a sudden, God emboldened me. He transformed my personality to now I can talk to complete and total strangers. I'm really not too afraid to go up and talk to anyone, whether I have a relationship, a pre-existing relationship or not. In Oklahoma, where I come from, it was said of Will Rogers that he had never met a stranger, just a friend that they had not been introduced yet. And so I kind of have that personality where, you know, I just like to talk to people. I like to watch people. And so if I want God to reveal himself to me in his mercy, then the best way that I am going to understand his mercy is by being a person of mercy. The more I demonstrate mercy, the more God is going to reveal his mercy to me. I'll just put it in an opposite way, and that is this: if you want to see God's wrath, be a person of wrath. If you want to see what it is like to be unforgiven, then be a person of unforgiveness. Because the Bible says that if we do not forgive, then our Heavenly Father will not forgive us. So I encourage you today that if you long to see the goodness and the greatness and the authenticity of who God is, then be that person that God wants you and I to be. Now, here is the great thing about God, that in eternity, it is going to take him all of eternity to reveal to us his glory. He is going to be taking us from glory to glory to glory to glory. God is so, he is boundless. He is without limit in his goodness and his greatness. And so it is going to take all of eternity, not because he is incapable of revealing it faster, but because we are slow to comprehend and ascertain and learn all of the revelation of God. I am so thankful that they did not teach me trigonometry in first grade. I'm thankful that they let me first identify the numbers and then learn how to add and then learn how to subtract and then multiplication. That was my favorite, division. And then they, you know, just got a horrifically mean streak in them and started introducing people to fractions and decimals and all of that. And then came, geometry and algebra and trigonometry and analytics and all of that. And then you get to calculus. I'm thankful they let us come to an understanding of one level before they threw us into another level. And so with God, if you want to see God in his mercy, if you want God to reveal himself to you, then reveal yourself as a merciful person. Now, I will tell you that mercy is my primary gifting. It is the primary way that I operate. And that's different than a number of people operate. But I will tell you this, that several years ago, because I pay attention to what people say, they were talking about the gift of mercy and the gift of exhortation. And they said, after a while, the most merciful thing that you can do is allow mercy to move out of the way so that exhortation can come in and teach them a way not to end up in that pit anymore. And so I am merciful, but I am not a mercy addict, if you will, to the point that I have got to operate in mercy. There is a part of me that understands the scripture of mercy. God gives grace to the humble. He is a merciful God. He gives mercy, but he has also given us the word of God for exhortation, for correction, and rebuke if necessary. So let's not get out of balance. We want to see the mercy of God. We want to experience the mercy of God, and God will show himself merciful to those who are merciful. In the NIV, that particular verse says, to the faithful, you show yourself faithful. Recently, a website that was created for the specific purpose of promoting unfaithfulness in marriage was recently hacked, and they had promised anonymity to their clients in them facilitating their unfaithfulness to their spouse, but somebody hacked into their system, and then all of a sudden this company is all up in arms. How could you reveal this? And now that company, I believe, is facing some lawsuits. Well, let me tell you, God is not looking to facilitate unfaithfulness. He is looking for faithful people. Faithfulness is not out of style. Faithfulness is still one of the greatest desirable characteristics. It's one of those things, you know, one of the things that, Christians want to hear is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so we are looking for God's faithfulness. And the scripture says that if we are faithless, God still remains faithful. We just won't see it. I've told the story on here about dealing with a salesman who constantly lied to me. And even though I was telling him the truth, he assumed that I was lying to him because he is a salesman. was constantly lying to other people. Unfaithful people will recognize unfaithfulness. They will have serious problems. God, they are not going to recognize faithful. Everything they see right now, I'm sitting here with glasses on my head that are designed to enable me to perceive things differently than I can with my natural eyes. When people have built their life on unfaithfulness, it is like a skewed corrective lens that they have on their face, only it's not a corrective lens, it is a distorting lens. And everything they see through the lens of unfaithfulness. If people are deceitful, then they see everything through the lens of deceit. If they are thieves, then they see everything through that lens. If they have been abused or been traumatized, our society says that you forever are going to see things through the lens of that trauma. But today I declare to you the sufficiency and the greatness of God. And that is when he reveals himself to you, he can not only reveal his faithfulness and his mercy, his holiness and his power, he can do so in such a way that it heals the very root of the problem. That's why people in the scriptures who were demon-possessed and got set free could then see Jesus in manners that the Pharisees never could. Because to whom much was forgiven, there was much love that was expressed. So let me continue on there in Psalm 18. With a blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. Isn't it interesting that in our society that God gets blamed for all of the negative things that happens, and he gets none of the credit for any of the good things that happen? I believe that that is because we have been trained by our current society to blame everybody else for all of our problems. You know what? There have been some horrible things that have been done to me by other people. But most of the problems that I deal with right now are not because of those issues, but because of bad decisions and bad choices that I have made by myself. So there's a saying I picked up a long time ago, have no idea who the original person who said it, but the greatest enemy is the enemy. It's the enemy that is inside of me. It's the one that causes me not to be blameless or to be pure. It says, with the pure, you show yourself pure, but with the devious, you show yourself shrewd. That means that God deals with unbelievers in a manner differently than he deals with believers. And it's not because he is mean. There is a scripture that says, if God be for us, who can be against us? That is true. But that does not mean that God is for every decision that you are making. It is not for that he is not endorsing or stamping his endorsement on your activities, your hobbies, your decisions, your lifestyle, or your death style, whichever that may be. Instead, if he has found you in a situation where you are not in a righteous lifestyle with him, he is standing there opposing you as you are on the broad path to destruction. And he is saying, you cannot continue on this way. It is going to result in your death. And so he stands there in opposition all of the way and says, the only way that you can go to hell is over my dead body. It is only because you are intentional and you have chosen to make these decisions, and you will reject me all along the way. But I am standing here trying to get you off the path of destruction and onto the path of life. Several years ago, there was a boat that hit a bridge in Oklahoma. I've traveled that road. It's a road where the speed limit at the time, I think, was 70 miles an hour, and you can get off on another road right after that, and the speed limit was 75. The speed limit may have changed now. And And when this boat or this barge hit this supporting pillar in the middle of the bridge, the whole bridge came collapsing down into the Arkansas River. And cars are going 70 miles an hour. And when you're driving down the highway, you're not really worried too much about whether the bridge was out. And so there are people cruising along, going as fast as they can. Some were probably going above the speed limit because it's just nothing but a straight shot. And there's no turns, no distractions, no problems. And what they didn't realize was that they were on the broad path of destruction. And cars were literally just plunging off at 70 miles an hour because the bridge that they assumed was there was no longer there. And it wasn't until someone finally came to a screeching halt and somebody ran out into the path of traffic, and they were raising their hands and flagging them down and trying to get them to stop, that the loss of life was caused to be stopped. Because once you hit a traffic jam, then all of a sudden you realize, hey, I thought I was on the highway. I thought I was just cruising along, and I didn't realize I was that close to death. That's what I mean when God stands in the path of destruction and tries to tell you, don't pass my warning by. God's word is full of wisdom. It's full of instruction. It tells us what we can do to stay on the path of life. Today, maybe you thought that, you know, God is love and God is love, but he is also a holy God. It says in wrath, remember mercy. It also says that his wrath is as great as his love. Today, God wants to reveal to you that he wants to be for you. He wants to reveal his mercy to you, his faithfulness, his blamelessness, and his purity. But he wants to get you off of the path of destruction and on to the path of life. What do you say we make a course correction today? And get on the path that God wants us to be on, and so that we can see the goodness of God. Say this prayer with me, if you would. Heavenly Father, be with me today. Lord, I pray that you would bring forgiveness into my life, that you would forgive me of my sins, that you would stop me from this path of destruction and put me on the pathway of life. Lord, I pray that you would make me a person of mercy who sees your mercy. Make me a faithful person so I can see your faithfulness. Make me pure so that I can treat others with purity. Make me the man or the woman that you want me to be for your glory and praise. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you without adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And and I so long to sing you the song you deserve.